This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Scotland Outdoors Podcast from BBC Radio Scotland.
Hello, and thanks very much for downloading this podcast. I'm Mark Stephen. This week's a wee bit unusual because we don't have one guest. We've got dozens, hundreds possibly. And yet the only human voice you're going to hear in this is mine. Ordinarily, when I'm recording wildlife, I'm standing there holding and pointing the microphone. The birds or the animals know I'm there. But having spoken on this podcast to proper wildlife sound recorders like Chris Watson or Jess Riley French, I wondered what would happen if I wasn't there. What if it was just the recording equipment? Now, to explain, I've got this small digital recorder, an Olympus LS11. It's a glorified dictaphone, really. And I placed it in the branches of that tree over there, next to where we have our bird feeders at home. It records in stereo, so you might want to listen to this on headphones or earbuds. I'll be absolutely honest, the results I got out of this really surprised me. I'd no sooner switched the machine on and walked away when a skein of pink-footed geese passed overhead. Just to explain the geography of the scene, we've got a clear plastic seed feeder and a wire one full of peanuts, and they're hanging in a tangle of trees. There's a sycamore, a couple of silver birch, and a few straggly conifers. There's grass at the front and an open field at the back. Try and think of it as a stage on three levels. Ground level, where seeds and bits of peanuts drop. Mid-level, where the feeders are, that's tends to be pretty active. There's a lot of toing and froing there. And then you've got the top level, the upper branches of the trees. The wee birds, the sparrows, chaffinches, siskins, blue tits, cold tits, great tits, that kind of thing, tend to colonise the lower stage. They hop about the lawn and zip up and down to the feeders. These little birds are doing fast laps. They fly up, balance on the perch, grab some seeds, straight back down again. Every time a bird grabs a seed from the feeder, they accidentally dislodge another couple of seeds, which then fall to the ground, which is where the dunnocks and the robin just wait for them. There can be 30 or 40 small birds together because, for them, there's safety in numbers. If a predator, a sparrowhawk say, comes barreling through, and for a small bird that's like death knocking at your front door, the hawk has got just milliseconds to pick one target out of dozens, all of which are panicking and flying in different directions. If the sparrowhawk guesses wrong, all the little birds get away. Occasionally they don't all get away, and I find the sparrowhawk on ground level with something dead in its taloned feet. It's always the hawk's eyes that draw mine. Chrome yellow, cold, quite calculating, which is entirely understandable because pity, compassion, hesitation even, would end up killing this bird. To survive, it needs to be what it is, nothing more, nothing less. There are big birds down on ground level too, wood pigeons, as fat and ponderous as medieval bishops. Their smaller cousins, collared doves, a bird that was unknown in this country before about the 1950s, are less than half their size. And when they fly, their wings whistle. There are blackbirds on our lawn too. Now the females do quite well out of the fallen bird food, but the males are so busy faffing about, posturing and squabbling with one another. Frankly, it's hardly worth them while turning up. They must burn more calories than they take in. And then you have the upper stage. About 3/4 of a mile away up in the village, there's a rookery, which is just jammed back full of these very smart, very argumentative, highly sociable birds. Rooks only look black from a distance. If you catch them up close in winter sun, their feathers shine with iridescent blues, purples and greens. Height for a rook means safety, so that tends to be where they stay, up top. If they do come down to ground level, all we have to do is move around behind the kitchen window, one of them will sound the alarm, and then whoosh, they're all off. Aside from the rooks, we get common crows, carrion or hoodie crows, corbies, magpies and jackdaws. Jackdaws are the smallest member of the crow family, and they've got these mad silver eyes. My mum's maiden name was Kai, C-A-I-E. It's quite unusual. And it was only recently I learned that Kai is an old Scots word for jackdaw. If you've ever seen my mother at the January sales, you'll know that this is a very clear case of nominative determinism. I've been told that in quantum physics there's a phenomenon whereby the outcome of an experiment can be changed by the very fact that it is being observed. Now, as I said, I've never recorded like this before. I recorded 5 hours of this stuff, and I've heard birds making noises in this that I've never heard before, because although the recording equipment was there, I wasn't, which I presume left the birds free to be more themselves. I'll leave you with this one last sound, which I think was caused by a great tit, but I can't say for sure. Great tits are very curious. They're very inquisitive animals, as are rooks. But I think that if it was a rook, it probably would have knocked the equipment out of the tree, so I'm going to go for great tit. This is what it sounds like when one decides to attack your microphone. I'm Mark Stephen. This has been the Scotland Outdoors Podcast. Thanks for listening.